It's a great season that we're in as we're just really launching into the season of believing God for his miraculous power to be manifest in the lives of people. I was sharing last week about a man by the name of Nicodemus. So remember me sharing about Nicodemus? And whilst we've heard the story of Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night, it was the miracles that actually brought him there. It was because he had seen miracles, which were spoken about just a few verses earlier, that he no doubt came to speak with Jesus. Because whilst he might have thought, okay, he's a great teacher, he has a lot of major things to say, it was the miracles that declared that he was indeed the Son of God. He was someone sent from God, and that was really the catalyst for his coming to faith in Jesus Christ and ultimately becoming born again. And so let's believe we're just going to see many people come to know Jesus. Let's believe we're going to see many people come to faith in him through this miracle month. That's the greatest miracle of all, being born again, that people have a heavenly birth, not just a physical birth, but a spiritual birth where the heavenly realm opens up for them in a way that has not ever happened before. And so if you've got people on your heart, there might be even difficult cases. You think, no hope for them. Look, my father, he started going to church when he was going up with my mother before they were married. My grandfather was a pastor, so that's a good thing to do. You know, if you want to get married to the pastor's daughter, you better start coming along to church. And so he was coming along to church in the early days, and he had a lot of friends, and that worked very, very well. But as time went on, he was in the building trade, and he was working 7 days a week, earning a great income, you know, looking after his family and doing all the things that, you know, good dads do, but he wasn't going to church for decades. And whenever we spoke about church and faith in God, and particularly when we became passionate about the things of God, he became harder and he became angrier and he didn't want anything to do with it. In fact, he said one of the places we were going to a life group, a home group, and he says the lady leading, oh, she's a witch doctor, you know. He really just had all the words to describe all the things that he felt were wrong. But amazingly, when we thought, could anything ever get through to him? Amazingly, through a matter of circumstances, God broke through into his heart, and all of a sudden, he was up the front testifying about Jesus and how God had done a miracle in his circumstance that he could say without a shadow of a doubt, that was God. And because of that, he then started coming to church every single week, and his whole life turned around, and they moved up to Queensland. He was there every week in church right up through till the time he went home to be with the Lord. So if you might have some hard cases, just believe that God will bring a miracle breakthrough in your family member. Maybe it will be a literal miracle that will be the catalyst for them coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Also, we've got baptism services, was mentioned, coming up in a few weeks' time. That's 3 weeks, 3 weeks' time. Just be believing for people. Maybe you have not yet taken that step yourself. Can I encourage you? Don't sit on the fence. Don't sort of, oh, well, I'll just see how things work out. I'm just going to take a bit of a middle road here. Be all in with your faith in Jesus. Don't be just someone like Nicodemus, who initially was looking on the sidelines, from the outside looking in. Be someone that's going to say, I'm all in for this. I'm fully committed. I am going to be following Jesus, even to the step of being baptized, which Jesus had commanded those who believe in him to do. And so I encourage you in that way as well. Now, we've been talking about CSI. C is for, not Charmaine, Pastor Charmaine, it's for connect, isn't that right? Connect. And so we want to, first step is we need to connect. We need to find people in our world and be praying for people. Have them on the card. Who will you be connecting with? The S is for sowing kingdom seed. And we need to be sowing kingdom seed. Jesus told a parable in Matthew chapter 13 about the sower and the seed going out and sowing seed. And that's what he wants us to be doing. He wants us to be sowing kingdom seed. And sometimes it'll be those conversations that are going to take place. They will sometimes be those opportunities when you will say, you will notice there is a need in a person's life, and you will say, can I pray for you? Can I pray that God will do something in your life and your situation? That's a bit scary, particularly if you're working with a non-Christian. But amazingly, I've discovered God will answer your prayers for non-Christians way quicker than he'll answer your prayers for Christians. I know it sounds weird, but that is a way that just turns the lights on for people that God is real. God just has a way of doing that. And so sometimes you're just stepping out of the boat, into the waters, doing something you've never done before, and just say, I'm going to take a bold step. I'm going to pray with someone and just see what God will do. And the third character in CSI is I. It doesn't mean investigate. It means invite. We need to invite people. We need to invite people. We need to look for opportunities where we can invite people to environments where they can hear about God, where they can hear testimonies and stories about what God has so powerfully done in people's lives. So coming up on the 16th to the 18th of November, there is going to be one of the largest events that has taken place in our state, in our city, probably for the last 30 or 40 years. It's called Awakening Australia, and it's going to be held at what was formerly known as the Etihad Stadium. It's now called Marvel Stadium. It is designed for superheroes. You know who the greatest superheroes on the planet is? It's our God. He is the one. He is the superhero. He is the one that can do all things. He's supernatural, supernaturally powerful. And so it's called Awakening Australia, and it's designed to be an environment where you can invite your friends that don't yet know God, and where they can just really be exposed to stuff in a very contemporary way, which will open them up to the things of God. Now, we've got a video, and it just goes for about a minute and a half that just gives you a little bit of a glimpse. There's been these similar type of events run in Europe, and they have seen tens of thousands of people come to know Jesus Christ, and we are certainly believing for that here in our very own city of Melbourne. If we could just play that, it would be great.
You will be glorified in what has been prophesied as the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. Would you invade our country like never before?
Australia for Jesus. And so we are looking forward to... Is this going up? No. Okay. We just put up that... Yeah, cool. It's up there. Awakening Australia, Australia for Jesus. So there's further details at www.awakeningaustralia.org. There are tickets. You have to register. It's $20 for a ticket for the entire 3 days. It should be worth $100, but you're getting that for $20. And can I encourage you to invite your friends, be praying for people that you will invite along to this event. Particularly, on the Friday night and on the Saturday night, starting at 7 o'clock. On the Friday night, there is a band. They've got Bethel Music, which are coming from the US, and they are just famous all around the world. That's the band that's going to be playing. And they've got the testimony of the man called Nick, I can't pronounce his surname, Vujic. And here's someone that was born without limbs, no arms, no legs, but he is the most dynamic preacher. You would just think, wow, as he has just risen up from his circumstance and shares the testimony of his life. He's got a lot of humour, but then finally just brings it home to how Jesus has made such an incredible transformation in his life. And so that's on the Friday night. Very, very powerful. So think about who you would like to invite along to that, maybe even buy the ticket for them. And then on the Saturday night, there is a speaker by the name of, is it coming to me? Todd White, Pastor Todd White. And he's a person that came out of the drug scene in the US, had been shot at multiple times, and lived to tell the story. And just powerful communicator about how Jesus changed his life and his future in indescribable ways. And the whole night, again, will be geared towards reaching out to your friends. So just remember, 7 o'clock Friday night, 7 o'clock on Saturday night. Right through the days, though, on all day Friday, Saturday, Sunday afternoon, there's going to be all sorts of sessions of different speakers that are coming. You'll see actually on this next slide, here's some of the speakers there. And some of these are real key people. Dr. Heidi Baker from Africa, Ben Fitzgerald, who's actually an Aussie, praise God. Bill Johnson, who's very famous. We know the Aussies are the best though, don't we? Yes, we do. And some of the people that are going to be a part of coming along, Pastor Phil Pringle, Darlene Sheck, along with her husband Mark, and Pastor Tim Hall. We all know Pastor Tim, Margaret Court, and so many others, and it's just going to be brilliant. So just be praying for it, be planning for it. There's certain people that I'm going to be inviting. There's people that I've just got on my heart, God's putting on my heart to invite them along, and let's just see what God will do. And so we are believing just for an open heaven. I just believe, as Pastor Julie just said earlier, I just think this is a season of an open heaven over the life of our church. And I want to just start this morning just sharing a story about Jacob. Jacob was someone who was known as being a deceiver. In fact, his name means supplanter, one who holds the heel. He was somewhat of a manipulator, a liar, bit of a cheat, bit of a schemer. He had some serious character flaws. He cheated his brother out of his birthright. Well, it appears that he did. Had he just waited a bit longer, his father probably would have pronounced the blessing over him, as he did the chapter later after we see that he schemed to try and do that by deception. But finally, his father does come and he pronounces a blessing over him. And he says to him, "I don't want you to find a wife here. I want you to go back to our family home city of Haran. I want you to find a wife there, and I want you to, just get things organized so far as your future is concerned." His brother hated his guts. Sorry to be so direct, but he wanted him dead, and he knew he had to get out of the way very quickly. You know, sometimes we can think that we are not holy enough, not good enough to be used by God. Well, if you look at Jacob, you think he's a pretty good candidate for thinking, "I'm not good enough to be used by God." If you wait until you've got your stuff together, you may never, ever get used by God. We've all got stuff. Who knows that's true? We've all got some stuff that we deal with in life. Don't wait till you're perfect. Had Jacob waited till he was perfect, he would never have inherited his destiny. But he says, "I'm just going to step out anyway." Also, don't wait until your circumstances are perfect either, because if you wait until you get all your ducks in a row, you may never serve God either. There's a lot of people that are in retirement now that are thinking, "I should have done all these things in my 20s, in my 30s, in my 40s, and they've missed the boat because they were waiting till everything was perfect. I found God can work in the midst of very imperfect circumstances. God's got an amazing way of doing that. So don't allow things to prevent you or to hold you back from pursuing God's call. So the first step we need to take really is one of obedience. Be obedient to what it is that God has shown you to do. He was told, go to Haran, go and take this next step. And as he stepped out in obedience, taking his first step, God showed up. And we see in Genesis chapter 28, it says, then he fell asleep in that place as he started on his journey from Beersheba. He ended up in a place called Bethel, which was just a little bit north of Jerusalem. And it says, and then he fell asleep in that place and had a dream, and he saw a stairway erected on the earth with its top reaching to the heavens. The angels of God were going up and coming down on it, and the Lord stood at the top and said. And so here he is. He stopped just after a little bit of a way into the journey. He camps for the night, puts a stone as a pillow. Who reckons stones make good pillows? No, you're not going to be buying one of them in the pillow shop. I don't think so. But he goes there to rest and to sleep for the night, and there he has a dream. Who knows that God still gives dreams and visions today? It speaks about that in the book of Acts. You're going to have dreams and visions. That's going to be part of our journey. And many times we have dreams. I might just make a comment here. Sometimes we see dreams as what we use this word, I think it's Latin, fait accompli. It means it's done, it's set in stone, it's going to happen. Something I've discovered is that some of the dreams we have are not set in stone, but they're giving us a warning. This is something you need to be aware of, and they can become prayer points. So sometimes we see something happening in a dream. Oh no, a disaster is going to happen. No, it may be that God is revealing a potential disaster is going to happen. And as you get before God in prayer, it can avert that disaster. But it's not always in the negative. It can be in the positive, that God wants you to take a step of doing something, and you'll see a dream and it'll just be stirring in your heart and think, I've got to do something here. And so make sure you just don't neglect those things. Step into that, or it may be a vision. Something that God has impressed on your heart, it might be very vivid, or it might be an impression he's put in your heart. Learn to respond to some of those situations. But here we see Jacob, he falls asleep, he had a dream and he sees a stairway. Some translations use the word ladder, refer to Jacob's ladder, but it's probably more accurately translated as a stairway erected from the earth, reaching to the heavens, and angels of God were coming up and down on it. And God began to pronounce blessing upon him. And he said, I am with you. I will protect you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. And God began to speak prophetically about his destiny and about his future and the things that God had promised to Abraham, his grandfather, and to Isaac, his father. He says, I'm going to bring that to fulfillment through you and the generations that will follow you. And sometimes we need to get that into our spirit, that God wants to bring his blessing upon our lives. Who believes that's true? Put up your hand. Who believes God wants to bring blessing upon your life, your future, and your destiny? If you don't believe that, you need to come out for prayer this morning. Sometimes we have guilt in our life, or we have sin in our life, and we think, oh, God won't bless me, God can't bless me because I'm not good enough. Well, I've got good news for you. God doesn't bless you because you're good enough. If we waited till we were good enough, we would never get blessed. God blesses us because of Jesus Christ. In fact, because Jesus Christ died on the cross, I think it says this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, Jesus became a curse for us that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through faith. That's you and me. We inherit what God promised to Abraham, what God promised to Isaac, what God promised to Jacob. We inherit because we receive it through faith. And so we need to have that expectation in our heart. So he hears about the blessing of God, and he's had this dream of these angels ascending and descending on this ladder on this stairway. And then it says in verse 16, then Jacob woke up and thought, surely the Lord is in this place, But I didn't realize it, but I didn't know it. I wonder how often God is wanting to get our attention, and God is actively working behind the scenes. There's a spiritual reality going on, and we don't realize it. We are unaware of what God is up to. We read the story in 2 Kings about Elisha facing an incredible battle, and there were physical armies. The Syrian army had surrounded him, and the servant was crying out, "Oh my goodness, look at what's coming against us." And he says, "Lord, open our eyes that we're going to see." And he saw this big army ringed around. It was the army of God that was there that had come to their defense. I believe there is so much more going on in the spiritual and the heavenly reality than we will ever realize. I was sitting here this morning, and I knew obviously the message I was going to be sharing about Jacob's stairway, having an open heaven. This is what it's about. It's about having an open heaven. And I was thinking, there's a stairway coming up here into the heart and soul of Aspire Church. There is a stairway, and there are angels ascending and descending on that ladder, and we need to be aware of that. There is a heavenly presence, angelic presence. There is a miracle-working atmosphere here amongst us, here at Aspire Church, and we need to believe God's at work, and God's going to bring breakthroughs, God's going to bring healings, God's going to bring miracle employment opportunities. God's going to bring salvation to the hearts of some of your friends and family and loved ones. We need to realize it. Even if we don't see it with our natural eyes, we need to look with the eyes of faith, with the eyes of the Spirit, to lay hold of that which is true in the heavenly realm. May we recognize what God is up to. And he says, "But I was also afraid and said, what an awesome place this is." You know, we can actually use the word awesome. They use the word awesome sometimes. "Oh man, that's awesome." But this is the real awesome. This is the awesome power of God. He says, "What an awesome place this is. It is nothing other than the house of God, the gateway to heaven." And it says, "And he named that place Bethel," which means house of God. If I was sort of into the church naming business, where we had a church name given, and by the way, the name of that place was formerly called Luz, and they named it to Bethel. But I like the word Bethel means house of God, but it's not to do with necessarily the name of the church or the building, but really, it was representing a Hebrew word saying, this is the house of God. This is the place where God's presence would dwell. This is the very gateway to heaven. I've had a few conversations recently with some people that's saying, well, God is omnipresent. That means God is everywhere. So how can we say God is here? How can we pray, God, I want you here? Or God, manifest your presence here, because God is everywhere. But I believe it is true that even though God is everywhere, he's infinite in every way. I believe that God will manifest his presence in specific places and at given times. God manifests his presence on Mount Moriah when Abraham was about to offer his son. And that very same place became the location where the temple was later built and where the Ark of the Covenant went, and the presence of God was there, you know, between the cherubim that seated above the Ark of the Covenant. There were places where, for example, Moses ascended Mount Sinai, and he went up and down and up and down and up and down, but it was up there on the mountain that he met with God. It became a place where God chose to manifest his presence. There was the tabernacle. God chose to manifest his presence. There was the upper room. We know God certainly manifests his presence in the upper room, where the Holy Spirit came down and an incredible deluge of his power and his anointing and the filling of his Holy Spirit. I believe that Aspire Church, And this building here is the house of God. You can call it Bethel if you like. It is the house of God. It is the place where God would manifest his presence. Have you ever felt you walk into certain places? Some places are dark and creepy and you just think, oh, I get chills, you know, when I walk into those certain places, dark places. But then there's places you walk in and there's just something of the residual presence of God as you walk in the door. And I've been to places. I've been to Pastor Yonggi Cho's church, and there's a large church in the world in South Korea. And you walk in the doors and, oh, it just hit me, like, particularly after I'd been going through a terrible time leading up to that. I just walked through the doors of that church and I was like, wow, it's just such an incredible sense of God's presence. There were so many prayers that had been made in that place and over different seasons. And I just know that God would manifest his presence here. You okay if I go a little bit longer today? Is that all right? You're not sort of racing off to get hamburger down the street or something? You're okay? It was a house of God, gateway of heaven. And just believe that, you know, you're just going to, as we come together in God's house here, we're just going to see incredible deluges of his power and manifestations that are going to just change and transform the hearts of people in indescribable ways. I think we need to believe for that and see that and expect that. I know it has been happening, but let's believe that there will be indeed an increase of that. And it's not just here in the house of God. You no doubt have a prayer room where you pray at home. And I've got my front room, and I like to think that there's just a real sense of God's glory there, because that's where I meet with God every day, and I just love it, and I love just being in that place. You may have a room in the back of the house. It might be a bedroom, might be some other place where you get together and where you pray and you spend time in God's presence. Just believe that there's just going to be a residual sense of God's presence as you gather to be with him each and every day. May God just do absolutely incredible things. And it goes on to say, then Jacob made a vow, if God indeed will be with me and protect me on this journey, and he will provide me with food and clothing, and if I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will certainly be my God. And if you don't know the Lord today, you need to come to faith in him. You need to come to faith in Jesus Christ, because he is the one that you need to watch over your life in your journey. And it's not so much talking about necessarily a physical journey, but just your traveling through life, fulfilling everything that God has on your life to do. And it says, and this memorial pillar, and he sets up a pillar, he says, I have set up, will become a place for worshiping God. And if you don't already have a place for worshiping God at your home, maybe you should set up one. Have your prayer room, have your special place. Wherever that is, set up a little place and just say, well, that's where I'm going to be having my time with God, and sacred places. So you may even have places outside of that. You know, I've been up to Mount Dandenong multiple times and I got my special place there, and that's one of my places where I go from time to time. And he says, this memorial pillar I have set up will become a place for worshiping God, and I will present to God a tenth of everything he gives me. We're talking here about an open heaven. And we're thinking, that came out of left field. What does giving have to do with an open heaven? I heard Pastor Charmaine was just sharing, you know, about just giving and what God would be doing in people's lives. What does that have to do with anything? Giving a tenth to experiencing God's presence over your life. I found sometimes your wallet is the last thing to get saved. I don't know. I think it's sometimes the last thing to get saved. We struggle with that one. This is what it says in the book of Malachi. It says, bring all your tithes into the storehouse. It didn't say all over the countryside to every other ministry. It says, bring all your tithes into the storehouse, that is the house of God, so there may be room enough in my temple or my house. If you do so, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will, what does it say? I will open the windows of heaven for you. Yeah, open heaven. Stairway to heaven. I will open the windows of heaven for you, and I will pour out such a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. See if this indeed is going to happen. And if you haven't started tithing, you may be depriving yourself of the open heaven that you need for you and your family. It's a step of faith to say, God, can I trust you in this? Try me in this. See if this is true. I'm going to finish with this thought. This blew me away. I'd not seen this before, but it blew me away. We know Jacob was on a journey, traveling north from Beersheba. He stopped at that place. He saw the dream. He saw the vision. He saw the stairway to heaven. And in fact, he came back to that place called Bethel, and God was there. God showed up again. He had a powerful encounter with God. So incredible. And you may be thinking, but I'm not Jacob and I'm not in Israel and I don't have those special places. Take a look at this. This will blow you away. John chapter 1, verse 51. And these are the words of Jesus. Then he said, I tell you the truth. You will see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man. Unmistakably, Jesus was making reference back to the story of Jacob. He knew every Jewish person would have known exactly what he was talking about. I tell you the truth, you will see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is what? Who is the stairway between heaven and earth. In other words, Jesus was saying, I am the stairway. You might be thinking, well, look, I don't have the right kind of setting and I can't kind of make this thing work. I know there's a stairway. I know that you purpose that there be an open heaven over my life, over the church. And we might be thinking, look, I'm not in that right setting. But as you invite Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior, as you get to know Jesus more and more, more intimately, as your relationship with Jesus grows closer and closer, and he becomes the love of your life. Not after everything else, your house and your car and your holidays and everything else. He must be the love of your life. You must love him above everything else. Jesus must be number one. He must be first in your life. As you embrace him as the Lord of your life, as the love of your life, he comes into your heart and he's going to be the one who is a stairway between heaven and earth for you because he lives in you and is in your heart. And the angels of heaven will be going up and down upon your life as you live the life that Jesus has called you to. As he is in the center of your heart, there's going to be supernatural power, miracle power resting on your life and your situation. There is going to be, I believe, angelic activity and visitation happening, whether you see it or don't see it. Jacob didn't see it. That didn't mean it wasn't happening. It was already happening. But he says, surely, you know, this was happening and I didn't even know it. I didn't even realize. May you now realize there are angels that are sent to work on your behalf and to be present in your midst and to be going before you in all of your ways. And just know that God is going to be doing supernatural things in your life and your circumstances, that miracles will result. Believe for an open heaven over your life. Believe for it over your family. Even if your family doesn't know the Lord, you be the one that stands in for them. You be the one that is going to be the beacon that is going to attract the presence of God into your home situation. Believe for it for your workplace. You will be the beacon in that place that is going to be attracting the presence of God and the miracle working power of God into your life and that which you do. Let's really embrace an open heaven. Let's believe for that in all our ways, in all that we do. Let's believe that there is a stairway, literally, you know, represented in the person of Jesus Christ, but there is a stairway through to heaven, changing our lives in all that God has before us. Can I hear an amen? Let's stand this morning. Just stand. Let's just stand. Let's just stand and let's believe for that just right here as we move into this 10-day season of prayer and fasting. Believe for an open heaven. Believe and know that there is a stairway through to the heavenlies. And there are supernatural, spiritual things that are taking place and that will take place. And you're going to hear about it and you're going to know it. You know, God's supernatural. You know, tomorrow night, the city of Casey is going to be electing their new mayor and the key officers, the deputy mayors, for the next season. Guess who's going to be opening the proceedings in prayer? I had no idea. We had no idea about that. We just looked on the agenda and think, oh, what's the agenda for the Monday night? It's the election of the mayor. What an opportunity. God gives us and he positions us right place, right time, right thing. Just believe for that. Believe for that, for all that is on your life and all that you do. This is a great season, friends. This is a great season at Aspire Church. Just reach out to the heavenlies. Speaking with Rob this morning, just talking about Deb and just great reports just coming back. Great reports coming back regarding her health and just other supernatural things have eventuated. God is at work. God is at work. Believe God. Believe again. Maybe you've been disheartened, disillusioned, disappointed. Who knows what's been going on? The devil likes to mess with your head. He does. He likes to plant with lies, rob faith from your heart. Believe again. Believe afresh. Reach out to the Lord our God. Let's pray. Father God, we just so thank you for your incredible and amazing presence. We thank you for the story of Jacob and that stairway in which you saw angels ascending and descending. And we believe that here in your house, here, the Bethel, Lord God, Aspire Church, a place where people would come to know you, where people would experience your miracle working power. Lord God, we pray that you're going to be just opening the eyes of our spirit. Lord, may we look beyond our natural sight and beyond our natural feelings and even what might be our friends might be telling us and our circumstances might be telling us. We believe, oh Lord God, for the supernatural power, your supernatural power just being released, oh Lord God, in your house, being released in families, being released in marriages, being released in health concerns, with physical healing, Lord God, in circumstances and relationships, Father God, but most of all, Lord God, we believe for your supernatural power and seeing people coming to know life in your name, Lord Jesus. And may it be, Lord, as we recognize you, Lord Jesus, you are the one upon which who becomes a stairway to heaven, the one upon whom angelic beings will be ascending and descending. And oh Lord Jesus, we recognize our need of you. If you're here today just whilst we're in prayer and you've not yet taken the step of asking Jesus Christ into your heart and you'd like to take that step, or if you're just not sure, just raise your hand just right now. I'm going to say a prayer just right where you stand. Just raise your hand just for a moment just so I can see it. I'm going to be praying a prayer that God's just going to be releasing just a real sense of just faith in your heart to believe and to know and to experience relationship with him. Anyone here today, just lift your hand just for a moment just so I can see it. Just sense you would like to take that step of invitation. Jesus, come into my life, come into my heart. Anyone here today, just quickly, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. That may mean that you all know the Lord. I pray that is true. If not, please come down the front following the service. We'd love to spend some time praying with you. Father God, we pray. There's going to be a supernatural release of souls being saved, people coming into your kingdom, people coming to know you. We pray, Lord, there's going to be a growing confidence that rather than being a crime scene investigation, it's going to be connection, it's going to be kingdom sowing, and it's going to be invitation. We pray there's just going to be just an incredible move, a leading of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us in the conversations, in the invitations being made, that, Lord God, many people will enter into your glory and into relationship with you. Father God, we pray for that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit.